Hello, folks. Bob Main here, and welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 54. If you are a new listener to this show, welcome. I want to tell you, this is a practical show. I'm not real technical. I'm not a gunsmith. I'm not ex-law enforcement. I'm not ex-military. I'm just a private citizen. Been carrying a gun a little over 5 years for self-protection. Thank you for listening to me talk about my favorite hobby, which is the owning, shooting, and practical care of firearms. And I'll tell you what, it is a pleasure. You're going to get practical, personal experience from me. That's what we talk about. And I'm riding high right now, folks. I'm excited because I just got done shooting an IDPA match. It is a beautiful spring Saturday here in North Texas. Hardly a cloud in the sky. 72 degrees. And I tell you what, the IDPA match that I just shot drew a lot of shooters because of the great weather. There were actually two matches going on at the same time. IDPA on one side of the range and USPSA on the other side of the range. Two different types of matches, which I'm going to tell you a little bit about here in just a minute or two. But anyway, so the major subject matter I'm going to talk about today is marksmanship, steel plate shooting, reloading fundamentals, and speed shooting. And actually, I'm just going to tell you about the experience of this man-on-man steel plate match that I just shot. If you are a enthusiast of steel plate shooting, folks, I would strongly recommend, if you ever get a chance, to go do that. One of the things I learned today is it really helps you work on the fundamentals of shooting. It's not going to help you much with combat, you know, gunfighting scenarios. Not at all. But it sure is going to help you with your marksmanship and your reloading. And that's what I got the most out of today. A couple of quick announcements real quick. I just want to cover the fact that our website is www.handgunworld.com. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/user/handgunworldshow. And I'm going to put a new video up. I've got a video of me shooting today's match, so I'll probably put that up this weekend. And actually, since it's a Saturday right now, you're probably not going to hear this show till Monday or Tuesday. So you'll be able to see the video of the IDPA match first. Check that out at youtube.com/user/handgunworldshow. Also, I hope you enjoyed that last interview with Long Range Tactical, and if any of you want to come on the show, if you have something you want to discuss, or if you have some strong opinions, or if you're an expert on something, I'd love to have you on the show. Just shoot me an email, and we'll arrange it. Okay, with that said, let me tell you what I participated in today. I participated in a man-on-man steel plate shooting match, and the way it works is it's the same stage every time. We had to shoot three steel plates, then we had to perform a reload, a speed reload, which was really great. I haven't had a chance to practice my speed reloads in a long time. And then after the speed reload, we had to drop another steel target. And we shot that 9 times. And what we did is we took turns. There were, 18 shooters. 9 in the marksman and sharpshooter class, which is where I'm in. I'm not an expert yet. And then there were 9 more shooters in the expert and master class. Meanwhile, the whole time we're doing this, there's a USPSA match going on across the range from us. But anyway, let me tell you about this man-on-man steel match. The way it worked is at the sound of the buzzer, you had to draw your pistol, and the steel plates were about 6.5, maybe 7 inches in diameter. You had to shoot the first one at a distance of about 8 yards, the second one was a distance of about 12 yards, and the third one was a distance, I think, of about 16 yards. After you dropped the orange plate, which was about 16 yards away, then you had to perform a speed reload and then shoot the final fourth steel target. Now, the competition part of this is at the same time I'm shooting, my opponent is standing next to me, and he's shooting the same thing to my other side. So I started off on the left side. So there were 4 steel plates on my side. There were 4 steel plates on his side. We're standing maybe 15 feet apart. And basically, the first guy to drop the last steel target wins. That's how that works. And you do 3 strings. So, 9 times I did 3 strings. I shot 27 strings, okay? I shot the same thing 27 times against 9 different opponents. It was a lot of fun. I only lost to three opponents. So I was 6-3. I had a total of 17 strings that I won, 10 that I lost. So I was third in my group. Out of 9 shooters, I finished third because I had 17 wins, which was the third best. Tell you what I learned from that. It was quite a learning experience. One of the things that I found is that it was standing and delivering. So in other words, we were not on the move, and neither were the steel targets. But sure, got to make sure I watch front sight, front sight, front sight. It's real. You know, I learned the concept of slow down and win again. The first three stages, I was awful. I think I only, let's see, that was 9 strings. I think I only won 4 of those first 9 strings because I was just trying to go too fast. Again, I want to drive the point home. Slow down and win. You know, and a lot of this pertains to a real gunfight. You know, hopefully we're never in one, folks. As I've mentioned many times, those of us who carry guns, we don't want to go looking for trouble. In fact, I found out when I recently interviewed somebody over at my survival podcast. By the way, I just did an interview over there with a deputy sheriff who's also an unarmed self-defense instructor, and he's a very knowledgeable guy up in Minnesota. When I was doing the interview with him, he asked me, he said, "Bob, what's the first rule of a gunfight?" Now, I've heard that question many, many times. What's the first rule of a gunfight? Well, I got it wrong. I said, "Well, first rule of a gunfight's got to be have a gun." He said, "No, first rule of a gunfight is get the hell out of there." And it's true. Get away. Get out of the area. We don't want to be there. So I got that wrong. So remember, first rule of a gunfight, don't be in one. Having said that, let me get back on topic. I got a lot of practice drawing the pistol from my holster today. Let's see, how many times did I draw it? 27 times. 27 times I drew it because, yeah, we shot it 9 times, 3 strings in each of the 9 head-to-head matches. Yeah, 27 times. So drawing it and firing and then shooting 3 targets and then reloading and shooting the 4th. So I got a lot of practice on drawing, making sure I get a good sight picture, focusing on front sight. Reload, do the speed reload, which I still maintain is probably the reload that you're going to end up doing in real life anyway, a speed reload. That means that there's already a round in the chamber, you feel like you need more ammo, you discharge the magazine, you put a fresh magazine in there with a fresh new set of rounds to shoot. Now, in this competition, it was mandatory that we do that to give us practice and to make the whole thing challenging. And you know what I noticed? That's where a lot of people lost it. And in the 10 strings that I lost, again, I won 17. In the 10 strings that I lost, 7 of them I lost right before I shot the final target during the reload. My reload was too slow. The other guy reloaded faster. He got back on target. He dropped his steel plate before mine. So I learned that if I perfect my reloads and practice, especially that speed reload, I bet the next time I do a man-on-man steel match, I'll be able to win probably 4 or 5 more strings if I can get that reload down. The other thing I learned is I really love my Glock 34 with the Warren Tactical Sights. Man, for shooting steel plates, that black-on-black Warren Tactical sight picture is very, very good. The rear notch on that sight is very wide. The front sight is narrow enough where there's a lot of good real estate in between the two, a lot of light, and it's really easy. Folks, you want to have that wide rear notch if you're shooting in competition. Now, these are quite a bit different than the XS Big Dots. Actually, I kind of wish I would have tried my Glock 19 or my Glock 26 for a couple of those strings with the big dots just to see what I could do shooting steel plates. I kind of regret not doing that. I got competitive, and I wanted to do the best I can, so I stuck with the Glock 34. But man, I'm really liking the Warren Tactical Sights. I'll put a link to Warren Tactical Sights in today's show notes. The other thing I learned, and one of the reasons why my reloads were so slow, is I wasn't keeping my eyes on the target when I was reloading. And I think that's so important, folks. You got to keep your eyes on the target. See, the problem is if I take my eye off the target after I complete the reload, then I have to reacquire the target with my eyes, and then I have to, of course, reacquire the target with my sight picture. And that's what slowed me down. As long as I kept focusing on that final steel plate while I was reloading, Folks, the muscle memory takes over, and if you do it right and you practice it enough, you don't need to take your eyes off the target to reload. All right, just bring the gun a little bit closer to your body, grab a fresh magazine, slam it home, keeping your eyes on the target. Just pick the gun right back up, front sight, get your sight picture, and pull the trigger. When I didn't do that, when I didn't concentrate on that, that's when I lost the string. Now, how does that pertain to real life self-defense? Well, you've heard me say many times, I don't think that you're going to find yourself in a situation where you have to reload. Now, somebody has said, well, maybe that's true, Bob, but, you know, don't forget magazines can malfunction. And so that's why I now carry an extra magazine with me. I don't intend to ever have to use my extra magazine, but I do carry it with me just in case the one that's in the gun malfunctions. Glocks don't have a lot of malfunctions. You know that that's what I like to carry simply because of the stone-cold reliability and simplicity of the pistol. But it is possible that it could malfunction, so I keep that extra magazine with me. So, again, it was good to get those practices, or get that time in practicing my speed reloads in case I ever get to that point. The other thing I learned from this steel plate match is, as I mentioned earlier, slowing down and winning. Slowing down and making sure that I'm accurate. You know, I went up against one opponent. He was an older guy, and he was a lot slower than me. You know, because he's a whole lot older, he doesn't have quite the reflexes. But you know what? When I went up against him, he beat me one out of three strings. The reason is, he was accurate. We had to shoot four steel plates. You know how long it took him? Four shots. He dropped four steel plates in four shots. He did not miss. He shot the first three, reloaded, shot the fourth one. Four rounds. You know how many rounds I fired? I fired seven because I missed too much. Now, I beat him the other two strings because I slowed down and I said, Bob, take your time. Make sure the front sight's on the target. Gently squeeze the trigger. Don't jerk it. And sure enough, when I slowed down, I did better. It sounds strange for competition, but accuracy wins almost every time. And think about that. Doesn't that translate really to a real self-defense situation? Accuracy, that's what's going to end a fight. All right? Now, let me share with you another thing I learned during this shooting match. Steel plates don't fall very easily. And it was actually very good marksmanship practice because you got to hit that steel plate square. I mean, you really got to hit that thing. What I mean by hitting a steel plate square is, I mean, you got to hit it right in the middle practically to drop it off of that stand. Now, I'm shooting 9mm. I'm shooting my Glock 34 with some light factory loads. Okay? So, you know what? I mean, I've got to hit that thing with a 9mm pretty much in the middle, not too far off, in order to be able to knock that steel plate over. There were a couple times where I hit the steel and it didn't fall. That didn't count. We couldn't shoot the next steel target until the one that we were shooting at fell. So it was great marksmanship practice, great accuracy practice. All right. Another thing that I learned from this match, I saw somebody else do. Thank God I didn't do it. If you're going to carry an extra magazine, make sure your mag carrier is securely holding that magazine in place. One guy, while he was shooting, as he was reaching for his mag, his fresh mag, after he had shot that third steel plate, he had to perform the speed reload. As he reached for his mag, He didn't quite reach properly, and it came flying out of the mag carrier, and it hit the ground. Slowed him down immensely. Obviously, he lost that string. Now, think about that. This was only competition. This was only shooting at steel plates that weren't shooting back. But what if that would have been a situation where he was in real life in a self-defense situation, and all of a sudden he has to reload, he's out of ammo, he has to go for his fresh magazine, and all of a sudden he knocks it out on the ground, and he's without any more ammo. Know what that means? Dead. Especially if you got somebody else shooting at you and you can't take cover. Even if you can take cover, you got to retrieve your magazine. So make sure that your magazine carriers have enough tension that doesn't happen to you. I watched what he did after he got done shooting the string. He went over and he tightened up the tension on his magazine carrier. A problem solved. Didn't happen to him again. Okay? The other thing I found out is how bad a shape I'm in. shooting a long match like that many rounds, I think I fired about 160 rounds, because unfortunately I did some missing too. Maybe it was about 140 rounds. Anyway, shooting 140 rounds and doing all that standing and everything, it's tiring, it's exhausting. And when you shoot that much and you're concentrating and you're focusing and you're in competition and your heart's racing and your adrenaline is pumping, when you're at that level for three and a half hours, man, that's tiring. That's exhausting. So I need to get in better shape. Okay, so that pretty much is a recap of today's IDPA match, but I wanted to share that with you. I know I said I would do these shows once a week, and that's pretty much what I'm going to stick to, but I'm going to go ahead and post this one sometime this weekend, because I got to tell you, folks, while this is fresh in my mind, I wanted to dictate this and put this up on the show for you to listen to it. Whenever I have special events like this where I go to an IDPA match and there's some kind of a special, you know, man-on-man steel match or something like this, or you know, any kind of a special, unique event like this, I'm going to make sure that I go ahead and do a quick recap. I've had some folks ask me about that, so that's what I'm going to do, and that's why I did this one. So I'm going to sign off. Just one closing thought that I want to leave with all of you. If you are not participating in the shooting sports, IDPA, USPSA, get involved in one. Now, somebody emailed me who listens to the show from Hawaii, the big island of Hawaii, and I think he said that he was not able to find any IDPA clubs there. If you can't find a competition club to go to, find some pistol training courses. And get into a course, do some practice. You can do a lot of this on your own too. You can set up targets and you can invent a lot of different ways to shoot them. For my listener in Hawaii, if there's any way you can get to where there's some open land where you can shoot, I don't know that much about the state laws in Hawaii, so I don't know if they allow that, if there's any public land, or if there's any public shooting land, or if you know anybody that has any private land, if you're allowed to go out there and shoot. I think you are, if it's privately owned land, but I'm not 100% sure. But whatever chance you can get, sir, and to anybody else who is listening to this, any chance you can get to go out and do something like this. It's such great practice and great marksmanship. One of the things that really bugs me is people will buy a pistol and they'll shoot one box a year through it, 50 rounds, going to a range and just standing there and running a target out to 7 yards and shoot 50 rounds and think, all right, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm well protected, and I got my gun, it shoots 50 rounds just fine, I was able to put them all on target, don't mess with me. Bad thinking, folks. Bad thinking, bad strategy. As a matter of fact, if that's all you practice is 50 rounds a year, you might actually be more dangerous with that gun than you think. The more you practice, the better you get, the less dangerous that you're going to be to other people, except for, obviously, your attacker. You will be able to stop your attacker, and you'll probably be able to put rounds on target. You'll be a lot more likely to put rounds on target. And don't forget, folks, you are responsible for every round that comes out of your gun. Every bullet that leaves the barrel of your gun, you are responsible for. So the more practice you get, the greater the chance you're going to be able to put that round on target, whatever it is. And folks, you know, sometimes what we're going to be shooting at is not always a person. It might be an animal that's attacking you. Okay? Plenty of stories out there of people having to shoot dogs that were trying to attack them, coyotes or whatever. So whatever it is that you're shooting at, the better chance you're going to have is going to be because you've practiced and marksmanship and shooting on the move. So the next IDPA match I'm going to go to, I know there's going to be some shooting on the move. I know I've talked to the match director already about that. It's probably going to be next weekend. If not next weekend, the weekend after. I'll go ahead and I'll put some more thoughts about that match after I shoot that. But that's going to be good shooting on the move, which is some of the best practice. Getting off the X. Getting off the X means getting out of the line of fire. And remember, folks, the first rule of a gunfight. Please don't get in one. So I'm Bob Main. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in. Shoot straight. Shoot safe. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.